The book of 1 Timothy. We'll be taking several verses out of 1 and 2 Timothy tonight. And, you know, when you think of Paul, and you think of those that he touched, and you think of those that he traveled with, you think of Silas, you might think of Titus, but I think that there was a special part, special place in Paul's heart for Timothy. A young man that Paul worked with and traveled with, he traveled with him and he discipled him. And I think all of us need a Paul in our life. All of us need someone that we can look up to and get spiritual mentorship from. But all of us need to have a Timothy in our life too. Someone that we can share and disciple also. Because that's what it's all about. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy to encourage him. He took over, you know, a church at Ephesus. He basically ran errands and was left in Corinth. He did what Paul wanted to do. And that really showed that Paul had trust, unique trust in this young man. Oh, if we could have that trust. But tonight, we want to look at a central theme that Paul dealt with Timothy, and he encouraged Timothy to live. And it's something that we really need today in today's church. And as we see Christ and the times coming back, as we see Christ's second coming approaching and the rapture approaching, we need to be more like this. So I have a one-word title. It's not work. Okay? It's not work. It's godliness. It's godliness. You know, the real issue of godliness is that people have redefined what godliness is. People have redefined what a church is. And there are people going to a church that has nothing to do with the Word of God or what the New Testament church is. There are people that call themselves Christians and believers, but they don't believe the same gospel that we preach here. And there are different definitions. Some people think that they are godly and they are good Christians and their lifestyle doesn't reflect it. See, this is nothing new. There's nothing new here. We have a lot of people that say that godliness is getting stuff. And it was even prevalent back in the day of Paul. In fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, Paul is warning Timothy. He says, look, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Folks, there's a lot of people today that are destitute or just totally void of what the truth is. And then look at this next phrase and see if it doesn't apply today. Supposing that gain, that's monetary and economic gain, that is status and prestige, is godliness. That is sometimes today's world. And they have redefined godliness as getting stuff. And that is not the case. And Paul tells Timothy, when you hear this stuff, from such withdraw thyself. So before we start talking about godliness, we need a good definition. And I'm just going to pull it right out of the dictionary. Godliness comes from the word godly. Means to be God-like. It's a noun, which means it's something that we do, okay? And it's an outcome. It's an outcome. It's piety, but more important, it's belief in God and reverence for His character and laws.
Amen.
Reverence for who God is and what He wrote. Reverence for what He has done and what we should follow. There's two sub parts to this. As you go on, and you know, in dictionaries it says, kind of means this, kind of gives you more meaning here. A religious life, but you can be religious and not be godly. We know that today because people have redefined what godliness is. But here's what it is. It's a careful observance of the laws of God and performance of what God expects us. Proceeding from what? Love and reverence. Christ himself said that. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casteth out what? All fear. John writes a whole letter about it in 1 John. Reverence for the what? For the divine character and commands, it's Christian obedience. Christian obedience. More, again, it's revealing God in you. It's revealing God in you in the sense of revelation. It's the system of Christianity. That's what the dictionary says. And this is a better definition than what some churches have about godliness today. This is a better definition than what some people who call themselves Christians have today. So tonight I want to look at several things about godliness. And this is just a word study where you just pick up the word godliness and go from there. But in background, there's several things we need to understand. That godliness should be a descriptive part of our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 2, Paul writes, he says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may what? Lead a quiet and peaceable life in what? All godliness and honesty. That's what he wants. I think that's verse 12. Okay? Verse 12. Okay? So in 1 Timothy 1 verse 12 it says that we should live a what? A quiet and peaceful life in what? All godliness and honesty. It should be a descriptive part of our lives. God is the only source. What now?
It's
2-2.
2-2. 2-2. Okay. Sorry. Okay. God is the only source of godliness. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So it's supposed to be a descriptive part of our lives. It's supposed God is the only source. It is an essential part of Christian growth. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 7, it says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. See, once you get these down, then you can be like God. But if you don't have knowledge, it's not going to work. If you don't have virtue, character, it's not going to work. If you don't have self-control, it's not going to work. If you don't have patience, it's not going to work. And then, if you're godly, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Okay? And then he goes on and says, hey, if these things be in you and abound, you will never doubt where you're going. And so it's an essential part of Christian growth. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 11 it says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, and we used this a couple weeks ago, what manner of persons ought ye to be in what? All holy conversation and godliness. God is a source of all godliness. We're supposed to live quiet and peaceful lives in all godliness and honesty. And this is something that needs to be all of us. It needs to be in every part of us. It needs to be descriptive of us. So it's an essential part of Christian growth. Now, as Paul goes through and he writes to Timothy, He writes about godliness a lot. And the first thing is, he says, we need to understand the form of godliness. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You know, the thing that people can't stand are what? Fakes. They say they're one thing, and they are totally different than what their words say. That's why Christ dealt with the Pharisees all the time and the religious people all the time. Because they said that they loved God, but when God was standing right in front of them, they were denying Him. They were calling Him Satan. They were saying that He was doing these things for the kingdom of Satan. And they were saying that He was a liar. That He was illegitimate. He was saying all, they were saying all those things about Him. But yet, they were all dressed up in their godly robes, in their robes, and all the religious garb, and talking about, this is the way that you need to follow. They had a form of godliness that on the outside looked good, but on the inside was empty. Christ Himself, He said, you're just whited sepulchres full of dead man's bones. So the first thing is the form of godliness that we have to have is not fake. And the only thing that you can have and not be a fake is if you possess it. We need to possess God. It says, besides all this, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot be godly. And there's a lot of people trying to be godly, but they're fake. God knows them. We need to know it and spot it from a mile away. And basically says, from such what? Turn away. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. By their fruits ye shall know them. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Godliness, true godliness, is not fake. It's something that must be lived out. It's got to come from a non-stony heart. It's got to come from a heart that God has given a new heart and a new spirit to. And if you don't have the new heart and new spirit, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you hadn't accepted Him as your Savior, you are not and you cannot be godly. Then, if you're not following Him in love and keeping His commandments, you're having a form of godliness. You can't pick and choose this. It's something that has to be all of us. All that makes me, me. All that makes you, you. And so the first thing is, he's writing to Timothy. He says, look, he says, there's a lot of people out there that have a form of godliness. And just because they might say the right word or they think they have the right definition, if they're a fake, you turn away from them. He talks about the mystery of godliness. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, it says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And then just to make sure that we understand it, here's the definition. This is the definition of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. See, godliness cannot be fake. Godliness must be based on Christ and Him alone. See, Christ, if you don't know Him, if you don't have a relationship, He's a mystery. But to all of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, He is not a mystery. It's without controversy. We know what God has taught us. That He was, God was manifest in the flesh. Every false religion, every ism that's out in the world has one common thing in one common thing. They deny that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Every one of them. Every one of them. Some say He's the brother of Satan. Some say He was just a good man. He was God, the creator of heaven and earth.
Amen.
All things were created by Him, and by Him all things consist. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So godliness must have the correct form. It cannot be fake. Godliness must have the mystery of Christ working in our lives. I can't explain why Christ loved me so much that He died on the cross. But I can believe He did for me. And I can live a life now that's in gratitude for what He has done for me. The third thing is, it's a doctrine. It's a doctrine. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, we were just in that chapter a little bit. It says, any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to what? Godliness. See, the words of Jesus Christ bring life. Christ told the crowd, He says, search the Scriptures, for in there you'll find eternal life, and those Scriptures speak of Me. You can't be godly if you're faking it. You can't be godly unless it's based on Christ. You can't be godly unless you live a doctrine of godliness. It's the truth from God alone, and not anything added to it or taken away. At the men's conference, Brother Rupp was talking about, you know, these gospels and people adding to the gospel. And in Galatians chapter 1, it says, anyone preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. Folks, it's in truth in God alone. So there's a form of godliness that can't be faked. Okay? The issue is, it is the mystery. We can't explain it. I can't explain why God did it for us, except that He loves us. And if God's done that for us, then we need to have a doctrine of godliness. What is that? A doctrine is something that you believe in that you will act on. And so if you want to be godly, you have to make a decision, first of all, to be godly. God gives you the capability to it, but you have to make a choice. Just like people make a choice to harden their heart, we can make a choice to serve God in a godly way. And those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're what kind of words? They're wholesome words. Now, what is wholesome? Wholesome is something that's good for you. Every word of God in the Bible is good for us. It's profitable. It's profitable for us. So we need to have the right form of godliness. We need to understand that it's all based on Christ. It needs to have the doctrine of godliness, and then we need to have a profession of it. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10, it says, talking about the women there. He says, but which becometh women professing godliness with what? Good works. See, you can't live a godly life without doing godly works. You can't say, I'm going to do these worldly things and say I'm sold out to God. They are diametrically opposed. You can't have negative thoughts and expect a positive result. In order to have godly works, you must be what? Godly. And good works in the Bible means righteousness. And unless you have the righteousness of Christ in your life, you can't do it. So it's the profession of godliness is what we should confess. And we talked about this. If we believe and if we know Him, we won't deny Him. Next, it's something that needs to be practiced. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Before that, he talks about, but bodily exercise profiteth little. And the point is that if we don't practice it, we won't get good at it. We have to profess it, we have to possess it, but we also have to practice it. How many can write cursive? Come on. Everybody can write. How hard was that? How long did it take to look at, to learn? Took a long time. And then, as when we were kids, we probably had really good penmanship. Some of us, okay? But I've noticed for myself now that I can only read my own handwriting. No one else can. And, huh? Yeah, everybody knows, okay? And the point, so I start printing. But here's the point. Started out good, and now it's not usable. And you know why? Because you don't practice the basics. We try to take shortcuts. We try to do all this stuff. You can't take shortcuts with godliness. And over time, we forget the basics. And when we forget the basics, we'll substitute something that we think is of equal value into it. And that's how you come up with false doctrine. And the issue is that we have to be based on truth. It's something that we practice. And now that we have computers and word processors and all this other stuff, forget it. I could just barely sign a check now. Why is that? I haven't practiced it enough. If I take my time, I can get better. I take my time, I get a better result. Folks, godliness is something you can't rush through. It's something that you have to take time. It's something that you have to pay attention to detail. It's something that you have to follow the rules on. And that's what we're talking about here about the practice of godliness. It's our walk. Folks, our walk, every detail of our walk should be dedicated to God. Whatsoever ye do all for what? The glory of God. And so the point is, don't let the details slip. Don't try to take shortcuts. is one way, and it's God's way. And we got to keep practicing. Or our lives will be so like poor handwriting, and no one can see God in it. And we've got to be careful for that. It's the believer's walk. And lastly, it should be something that we should pursue. I think probably men, you saw the one that you're going to marry and you did what? You pursued it. You thought you had a job opportunity. Something that you wanted to do. And when you found the opportunity, what did you do? You pursued it. Why? Because you thought that she was worth it. You thought that the job was worth it. Folks, we do things because we set our mind on them. In Colossians chapter 3, it says, if ye be risen with Christ, set your affections on things above, where Christ sit on the right hand of God. Okay? Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. That's where we need to set our sights. That's who we need to pursue. If you do not have a pattern to follow, you can't do anything. Yesterday we were out doing track sweep. And one of the gentlemen that was outside that I gave a track to and talked to him a little bit, what he was making a template for furniture, for an oval coffee table. And the issue was he wanted to make a lot of these things. So he had a template. And he was making he had all the lines around. He was sanding it meticulously to get it right down to the line. He was paying attention to detail. You know why? So every coffee table that he built would look the same. It would have the same dimensions. It would have the same function. It would have all this. He was paying to, and he was pursuing that because he wanted to have a good template so he could build a lot of these things. Folks, we need to pursue God's template. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11, it says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow. Here's our template, folks. Here's our template. Follow after righteousness. Who is righteous? There is none righteous except who? God. Godliness. That's something that we have to make a choice to do and to be like Him. Faith, love, patience, and meekness. Are those our goals? They won't work very well on a resume for a secular job. But that's exactly what God wants us to do. Because if we focus on these, we can be godly. It is our objective. So tonight, as I close, I just need to ask you this question. Are we fleeing things that are not godly and fleeing things that are like God? Are we pursuing righteousness? Are we pursuing godliness? Are we pursuing faith? Are we pursuing love? Are we pursuing patience? Are we pursuing meekness? That's our objective. If you don't have a goal in mind, you'll never obtain it. And the direction we go with our life is the way we look. We go in that direction. You want to go God's way, you must look to God. If you're not looking to Him, you'll never find the path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Is God's word a light for us to follow? This morning, Christ was telling the unbelievers that the light was here and it soon will be gone. He says, and when you're in darkness, you don't know where you're going. Folks, we have to have a goal in mind, and that is God. The goal of our life should be godliness. It's something that can't be faked. It must be based on Him. It must be based on truth. And we must profess it and go after it in our vision. It's not what you think godliness is. Well, I think I'm a pretty good Christian. No. Stack your life up against God's word. And then say if you are or not. We need to live by this word. Amazing. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I just ask, be with us, Lord, and help us to be godly. Father, be godly is to be more like you. And Lord, I just ask that help us, Lord, make it a pursuit of our lives. Lord, search our hearts. Take out all the stuff that's fake in our life. Help us to set our aim on you. And Father, let us base everything on your truth. Lord, we give you this time. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.